Previously on the CPL Poker Podcast.
It's my passion.
Yeah.
Omaha.
Okay.
Limit Omaha, not spread.
Right.
Limit. That's an abomination. That's why I quit playing the Running Aces Wacky Wednesday tournament.
It's an abomination.
Spread Limit Omaha 8 is an abomination.
Okay.
And I'm just not keen on either pot limit or no limit Omaha. Just not my game. I like Limit Omaha.
Okay. All right.
So kudos to Canterbury for putting those on. Kudos to Running Aces for putting on the Big O, which is a nice tournament.
Yeah?
Yeah, you get an extra card. It's basically what it is.
So that's not abomination.
No,
but spreading yeah. Omaha is just damn near killing off the game. But adding a whole nother card to your whole cards, that one's fine. You're fine with that?
That's just a variant. It's a variation of the tournament.
Oh my gosh. Listen to this.
This is Scott Long, host of the Anti-Up PokerCast, listening to my new favorite poker podcast, the CPL Poker Podcast.
Of the CPL Poker Podcast, the longest running poker podcast in the upper Midwest, broadcasting from Blaine, Minnesota. I am your host, Mark Cardenas.
I'm Phil Fuhrer.
Hello, Philip.
We're moving on.
Move out.
Move out.
Move out. I think it's Move Out. Isn't it Move Out?
Yeah, I know the song. It's not one of my favorite songs, but I do know it.
It's a great song.
No, I like it. It's not one of my favorite songs.
This is Yaz, or Yazoo.
I was going to say a little trivia.
If you were in the UK, you'd know them as Yazoo.
Yeah.
But in the US, they were known as Yaz. And the name of this tune is Situation from 1982. And this is from the album. Where did the album go?
Something about Eric.
Eric's at upstairs at Eric's.
Okay.
So that's almost fitting over at with Eric's bar. Eric's no bar. Longer be there.
Going
upstairs
on,
at Eric's.
Go,
we got Yaz.
A tribute to Eric. Upstairs at Eric's.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a great hit in 1982. Only made it to 74 on the Billboard Hot 100 back in 82.
Flip side, I think this was the flip side of the B-side or two A-sides. The other side
it was the B-side.
Was Only You.
Only You, yeah.
Which only charted a few positions higher.
Right.
But that was
a really great song.
That's a great song.
This is a great song, too, though.
Yeah.
You may recognize some of the synthesizer stuff, and you especially, Phil. That's Vince Clark, who had done work with Depeche Mode.
He was on Speak and Spell. one of their first albums that came out for Depeche Mode.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he wrote
I always laugh at the name of that album, you know. Speak and Spell.
He wrote and sang Just Can't Get Enough and what was the other song? New Life were two of the hit songs that he penned and sang.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was good stuff. You know, this tune made it to number one in the U.S. on the Hot Dance Club Party chart.
Does that chart still exist?
You know, I was wondering since then. Yeah, what do they call it now? I don't know what they call it now.
The dance charts or dance club charts?
Maybe, but the Hot Dance Club Party chart. I tell you, if there's anywhere I want to be number one on that chart. Hot Dance Club Party chart. Number one. This tune, got sampled by Snoop Dogg in his song Boom. Boom.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom. Boom. So, it's an awesome tune. I love this thing. Anyway, starting off the show here, as always, with songs from the 1980s, and this week, Situation by Yaz.
Yazoo.
There we go. How are you, my friend?
You know, I'm doing okay. Disappointed in some of my recent finishes. I've been tweeting about it, if you follow me on Twitter, or Facebook, for that matter.
Okay.
I did cashed once in the Fall Poker Classic.
You did.
My first tournament that I played, a No Limit Hold'em.
No Limit Hold'em, and you ended up, was that a min cash?
No, it was not a min cash.
Okay.
It was 203 runners, payout started at 20, I believe it was. I finished 13th.
Wow, look at you.
I was like third level in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So and I was one.
You brought back like 280, 290?
295 was the payout on that for a $125 entry fee.
There we go.
So not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's nice to get a cash.
You know, I also felt real good about that because I remember looking up at the clock with about 70 people left. You know, seeing how many people were left, and from that point forward, or from like 80 people left down to going out in 13th, 95% of the time I was between 8 and 11 big blinds.
Okay, just on life support.
Virtually the whole time, other than two or three brief instances where I maybe went all in and doubled up or something, but then I would play a hand and lose and get back down to 12 big blinds.
Right, right.
So basically the whole time I just rode the short stack through like 50 eliminations.
Wow.
60 eliminations.
So, you know, how many times did you go all in then?
I went in several times all in. I was into a big stack poker type of thing, short stack poker, which was, I had one move. Thankfully, the cards came well enough that I, you know, felt comfortable in shoving.
Okay.
And the couple of times, got a lot of folds, had a lot of respect, thankfully, as well. Didn't do a lot of bluffing, actually. I actually, thankfully, had cards that, you know, I felt comfortable shoving with.
Right,
you know, didn't feel like I had to shove with 9-4 offsuit because I have to.
Right.
Always had an ace or king-queen suited or something that I, you know, would feel proud to go out on if I got called.
Happy to flip that sucker
more
over.
More than happy to flip this over.
Right, yeah. As I get my jacket and leave, but I'm feeling good. I'm
proud about going out on this hand.
I am good.
Versus, you know, getting called with 9-4 offsuit and flipping it over and going, well, you know, I didn't have any other choice.
Yeah, nice call. Nice call.
Yeah, nice call.
Nice call.
Didn't
asshole.
Have any choice. But, and thankfully I had two suckouts when I needed them. I'd have to go
always
back.
Need. So how many all-ins did you survive? Like 7, 8, 9, 12?
Probably 8 to 10. I think before I got eliminated.
Yeah, 10 out of 11.
Yeah, so probably like 10 out of 10, you know, 9, yeah, 10 out of 11 with two suckouts in there.
Nice.
You know, I had a couple suckouts. It might have even been three.
Nice.
I know my ace two, I think it was ace two suited, cracked ace jack.
Okay.
I got lucky there.
There. Yeah.
And, yeah. And then I had another one. It was like king jack against, you know, ace 10 suited or something that made it. So.
Wow.
So that was good. But then my Omaha, played a couple Omaha tournaments out there. Those did not go well.
You were very excited about your Omaha tournaments over at Canterbury.
I was. The first one was terrible. That was the noon event, $230 entry.
Oh, no.
I wasn't the first one out.
It was terrible, but you were the third one out?
And I guarantee I wasn't the first one out because I went all in at the same time. Another guy at my table went all in, and he had less chips than I did.
Oh, wow. And
we both got eliminated.
Okay, all right.
So if we were the first two out, he gets credit for last.
Right.
That would be Tom Hammers.
Just throw him right out there.
And I was not last.
Nice.
No, the reason I bring Tom Hammers up is I tweeted about this. And at the time, I thought it was Tom, but at the time I wasn't sure, so I didn't say his name. I just left it with a nebulous, a player being a horse's ass, which is really what he was. The guy was at least. I don't know him other than I know who he is and I've seen him play and things like that. And I thought that's who it was, but I wasn't sure. And if you follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, we're playing Omaha. It's early in the tournament, like level 2.
Right.
And he has a full house.
Okay.
You know, he has a full house, but he wins the hand. All right. So he wins the hand. He has a full house, but a flush also wins the hand, and he also had a flush.
Okay.
So the dealer, he flips over his hand. Hammers does. You know, people flip their hands over, and the dealer announces, you know, the winner. He wins the hand, starts to, shove in the pot and says he has a flush.
Right.
And Hammers becomes a total ass.
Yeah.
Not just pointing out that it's a full house.
Right.
But
which also wins.
Which also wins.
Right.
Obviously, it's a better hand, but like rags on the dealer for like the next 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And like touches the cards and points at them and taps on them and says, look, right, you know, full house.
Right
you
here.
Know, two cards like here. Two of these and three of these is a full house.
Right.
And just being a total ass about it. Now contrast that with Mike Bear, who I played with. We sat side by side. Mike Bear was on my left, Blind Me Down Bear, friend of the CPL.
Yeah.
On my left on the second Omaha tournament that I played, the 6:30 Omaha tournament, same thing happened. Exact same thing. Mike had a full house.
Oh, okay.
And a flush, and the dealer said you win with a flush.
Okay.
Mike pointed out, no, it's a full house.
Right.
But then that was it. I mean, that's classy. That's that. I mean, you want to point out a mistake because you got to be sure the dealer maybe knows what's going on.
Right.
But you pointed, and obviously the dealers know what's going on, but you pointed out, no, that's...
Well, I don't know. There's like two of them miss full houses
Well, they're different days.
2 days.
Different days.
Two different dealers on two different days miss the same call.
But there's the...
I'm not sure.
But there's the difference. The class act of a Mike Bear who...
He has a class act.
Flush player, player wins with a flush, and no, I'm sorry, it's a full house,
right?
And that was it,
right?
Versus a 45-second mini tirade with little antics and moving the cards, and I'm not even sure you're supposed to be touching the community cards,
right?
But he touched, he's moving
hands
the
over.
He's
guess.
Moving
he
the he's moving
he
the community
now.
Cards and moving them around and talking about how that's a full house and. Just being a total ass about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So ran from that. The other thing I've been doing, I ran my 11th Minnesota State Championship with the Free Poker Network.
Okay.
Tribute to Eric's. Check our blog out. There's a nice tribute to Eric's on that. This was the final state tournament. For the Free Poker Network, and it'll be the final one for the Straight Flush Poker Tour on November 9th as well. For Eric's Bar, the St. Paul Port Authority bought out Eric's. We've written about that on the blog. So Eric's is now, the building is still there, but the bar is closed, and that should be raised in about another month. So we had 11 qualifiers from Eric's that went up to Manoman, the Shooting Star Casino.
You love Manoman.
I do like Manoman. 209 total participants played up there for the Minnesota State Championship, so we had 11 out of the 209. What is that? That's 6%, roughly,
something like
of
that,
the
yeah.
field. Top 16%, or when we had 32 players left, 16% of the field was Eric's players. There were still 5 of us left with 32 players out of the 11.
Wow.
4 out of the 11 qualified for nationals, and that was the top 20. So 20% of the field. By far, Eric's, and I've alluded to this in past posts, I think, and this backs it up, Eric's was the toughest bar in the state of Minnesota.
For FPN.
For FPN. Right. Based on FPN stats. FPN keeps real good stats, real good player stats, and I think it's just clear that you know, we were playing at the toughest bar in the FPN.
Wow.
And I finished 32nd. I was the top, you know, five left with 32 players, but I went out in 32nd.
Okay.
And, you know, let me get your feedback on this real quick.
Okay.
I went out, I had 55K, which was just over 9 big blinds.
Okay.
I was dealt ace-queen suited. Blinds are 3,000, 6,000. And I have ace-queen suited in the hijack position. And it's folded around to me. I raised to 14,000.
Okay.
So blinds are 3,000, 6,000. I'm the first one to act. I went to 14, so min raise plus 2,000.
Okay.
I wanted a call. I figured my ace-queen suited was going to be a very solid hand. I'm in good position. I'm assuming that most of the other players are going to fold, and I might get one call. You know, I was hoping for at least one call, and then maybe, you know, take it after the flop. Wanted to get a few more chips as well. I figured I needed another 30, 35, 40,000 chips to make it to the top 20. I wasn't where I needed to be.
Right, right.
So make the raise. It's folded. The cutoff folds, the button folds, and the small blind folds, but the big blind shoves all in. And he's got about 58,000, 59,000.
Okay.
So he has me covered, just barely has me covered.
All right.
Now, I had already pre-thought through some of this, and you know, my other thought before I raised to the 14,000 was to shove all in.
Right.
So I just snap called. I didn't think through it because I had pre-thought through the situation that if something happened like this, it was just the same result as if I had shoved anyway, which I was almost leaning towards and had talked myself out of.
It's not the same.
Well, I'm just saying. That's what it was.
It's not at all the same.
But that's what I did, so I called.
All right.
Because I pre-thought through and said to myself, I'm willing to coin flip on this.
Okay.
And the only hands that crush me or beat me is ace-king, very likely to have ace-king. Or aces or kings. Less likely to have pocket aces or pocket kings or pocket queens.
Okay.
But jacks on down, ace-jack, ace-10, those were all as likely, I thought, too.
Okay.
And indeed, the player had pocket fives. So it was a coin flip.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, you're in much better shape than I would have thought.
So it was a coin flip. And I went in hoping that it wasn't, you know, ace-king. And it wasn't. But I was prepared for a coin flip, and I didn't win the coin flip.
But with, like, 9 big blinds?
Right.
Why are you raising? I don't know why you're raising.
Well,
in that scenario.
Because I think for me, when you get into the later...
I mean, the blinds are really big. I understand
that. Yes, exactly,
that,
and that's the reason
you,
why.
You still get the same sort of fold, you know, equity with, like, a min raise as you do an all-in, but... But there is something else to be said about the power of an all in.
Oh,
and your hand is not golden at ace queen.
Suited.
You did not just do that to me. Oh my god.
Well, it was suited.
All right.
It was spades. It was, you know, prettiest card in the deck.
I have no doubt that it was suited. That's not my point. You know, it is not golden at all. You are vulnerable, so why not use all of the weapons in your arsenal at that point? And the all-in is one of those weapons. I'm not sure when you were waiting to use it. And like when you were talking, it's like, okay, well, you know, if he goes over the top of me, I'm just going to call, and it'd be, you know, it's not at all the same. You don't know whether your all-in would have shoved off the fives and made him lay fives.
No, I know, but I think what I'm trying to get at is I needed more than just the 9,000 chips from the blinds. I needed at least 35,000 more chips.
Right.
Now, I could shove in a few more times as well.
Okay.
But what I was trying to do, folded around to me with only one, two, three, four, with only five, you know, there's five people behind me there, I think it was. The blinds, the cutoff, and the
and I understand and that the, you need like 35,000. That doesn't mean you need 35,000 this hand.
Well, no, but I think ace queen is a strong enough hand to give it a to try to extract as many chips as I can to get somebody to call me, get 14,000, see what the flop is, and shove then maybe depending on what the flop is, and maybe that's all I get. But then I get 14,000 rather than actually I get 14,000 plus the small blind in this particular scenario if it was the big blind that calls. So I'm going to get 17,000 chips rather than 9,000 chips.
I totally don't understand what the you just said there. It doesn't make any sense.
Makes lots of sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. If you go all in up front, you double up if somebody calls.
If they call
and if everyone folds, you get the blinds.
Yes.
Okay. And so what is a better scenario than that?
Going to a hand with going into the flop with a hand that very well has somebody dominated. With a much better hand.
And how do you get more chips out of that to extract more than just a double up with the blinds? How do you get to that point?
To get them to call. Here's the thing. All right. You have ace-jack suited.
Okay.
Ace-10 suited.
Okay.
Are you going to call an all-in for 97% of your stack?
Probably not.
If you're in the big blind, will you call a min-raise?
Maybe.
Or a raise to 14,000, that's 2.2x or something like that. You might call that. And when you do call that, I've got you crushed because I've got the ace-queen in this particular scenario.
All right, so,
or I've got if I had ace-king or something. So it's the idea to get a...
You're getting trying to get more than one person to call.
No, just one. You just want one. Typically, you just want one caller. But you want to get that extra caller to get the extra chips. With a hand.
What extra caller? I just said. You're going to have more than one caller? No, I just want to go hands up.
A caller.
Which way is it?
Do I get one caller, or do I
have more than one caller?
I want one caller.
You want one caller?
I want to go heads up.
Then the most you can get, you can double up, is just, you can just double up. You go all in, you can double up. If you're only going heads up to somebody, that's the only way you get, it's the same result.
But I'm back to the scenario that I don't want you to fold your ace-10 suited. You have ace-10 of diamonds. I don't want you to fold that.
Oh.
I don't want you to fold your pocket fours.
Heavens. So you're slow playing.
No, I'm not slow playing. You're trying to trap.
You're trying to trap with your ace-queen.
Suited. You could maybe call it.
What else do you call it? You're totally trying to trap somebody.
It doesn't even have to be ace-queen. It could be pocket aces.
You're trying to trap.
It could be pocket aces.
Oh, but you didn't have pocket aces. No, that's not the conversation we're having. What kind of crap is this?
But he doesn't know that either. He doesn't know what I have either. The point is he shoved over the
Folks,
top.
Man, if you could see my face right now at what he just said to me. Why don't I have the webcam on tonight? This is just amazing. Okay, contradictory guy. All right. It's not contradictory. You're totally all over the place.
No. It makes total sense in my mind, as always.
You're going up against multiple people. Nope, just one.
That was a misunderstanding. Point being,
I have ace queen. I've got pocket aces. What do I got? What's going on here? I'm trapping. No, I'm not. I'm playing heads up, but yeah, I want them to think I got pocket aces. What kind of shit is going on here?
Point being, I'm lost.
I'm totally out of my mind.
Point being, I'm just wondering, should I have folded to the all-in shove from my opponent, knocking me down to 41,000 chips, which takes me down to just under 7 big blinds.
I think the call is.
I didn't call. I raised. All in call.
You did not raise. You called the all in.
Yes, I raised a 14. He shoved all in, and I called.
Thank you.
That call. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking. Isn't that what we're? I'm done. I'm cutting this podcast off right now because I am not doing this with you for another 45 minutes.
No, I wanted to make sure you weren't. Thinking pre-flop or a pre, you know.
Oh.
Anyway, go ahead. So go ahead.
Okay, so the all-in happens, right?
Yeah.
And you're calling of the all-in. That's what you're questioning? Whether that's the right move at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think with the ace-queen, you're very vulnerable. And, you know, but
There are vulnerabilities.
I have a hard time, you know, determining what to do because I'm not sure I'm in that scenario. I don't know if I ever get to that scenario because I'm always shoving.
Yeah.
If I'm either shoving or folding.
I considered shoving.
Exactly.
I considered shoving. I mean,
exactly.
I
think it's more aggressive. I think it's the right. It's the right way to. It's the best. In my opinion, it's the best use of your chips at this point.
Okay. All right. If you're listening out there, drop us a line. I
mean,
no, drop us a line. Let us know what you think on the listener base. Give us some feedback.
I can't wait. Please get me. You know, somebody back me up that I'm not the only one thinking that Phil's contradicting himself every 5 minutes over here. Someone help me.
Put that in there too.
CPLpokerpodcast@gmail.com. There we go. So we want two bits of information. One, what do you think about the call? I'm okay with the call of the all-in. I am not okay with the 2X raise to start off the whole mess. And whether Phil's being contradictory this whole time.
Okay.
Oy vey.
So
okay.
That's been my play. How about you?
I haven't played at all. All
right.
Move on. Da-da-da. That's a great song. So, all right, so you played how many different events at the Fall Poker Classic?
I played 3 Fall Poker Classic events.
Nice.
No Limit Hold'em, 6:30 event, the upper Omaha 8th event, and the lower cost Omaha
8th
event.
Okay. There. No horse?
No, I just couldn't put the horse into the budget. That was a $550 tournament. And
oh, yeah, that was a little steep.
I just backed out, yeah.
That was a little steep.
Didn't do it.
All right. Super. All right. Well, what do we have in store for episode 155? Not like this hasn't been a great time already. You know?
I'm enjoying it.
We're 23 minutes into the podcast, and now we're going to go ahead and start. Let's go ahead and start the podcast, shall we? Oh, man. All right. We've got, believe it or not, we've actually got a hand of the week. So this isn't the only poker analysis that you're going to hear on episode 155. There's going to be another round of this witty banter between myself and Phil coming up a little later. And we also have the rundown on the WSOP 2013 November 9, which is taking place here in the beginning of November.
November 4th. That kicks off. And that's a stack table. I'm going to look forward to talking about that.
Yeah, it is totally, totally looking cool. So we're going to talk about who's on that table and go through that. We've got a Minnesota music segment as well with Andy's Doomsday Device. And that is a show.
Great local band.
Right there.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Try. All right. So let's go ahead and... Well, if you've just started listening to our show, welcome. And make sure you check us out on all of our social media. Like Phil mentioned, he's out on Twitter and on Facebook. But you can also find the CPL Poker Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. You can drop us a line at cplpokerpodcast@gmail.com or out on our website /blog/ repository of all of our podcasts at cplpokerpodcast.com. But, you know, go out to Apple, first of all, and, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
You're out there.
It'll be sent right to your iPhone automatically. There you go. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here and come on back with more of episode 155 of the CPL Poker Podcast right after this.
Is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. There's no ease in podcast, and there's no ease in blueberry.com.
Hello, everyone. Let's talk about bar poker leagues in Minnesota. There's only one name you need to remember, and that is Straight Flush Poker Tour. You can find them at sfpokertour.com. Stop going through qualifier after qualifier with your current league before you get to the big prize. Play with Straight Flush Poker Tour, and you can qualify for prizes like the Mid-States Poker Tour or main event prizes at Running Aces, plus a bracelet. A great-looking bracelet for their champions at Straight Flush Poker Tour. There is no question about it, folks. If you want great bar poker with the best structure, at the best location, with the best tournament directors, you need to play with Straight Flush Poker Tour. They have locations all across the metro area and play every day of the week. So when you want to play poker, they are there for you. When I play bar poker, I play with Straight Flush Poker Tour, and so should you. You can find them at sfpokertour.com and tell them that the CPL sent you. We are back from the break here on episode 155 of the CPL Poker Podcast, and it's time to go over the WSOP poker. Is this the poker news segment? Oh, yeah. We're going to call it poker news?
Yeah.
So, like, okay. Well, that music in the background means it's time for another episode of, or another segment, I should say, of the CPL Poker News. From the CPL Poker News desk, with your CPL Poker News anchor, Phil Zuber.
Well, if we're going to go poker news, we might as well talk about a few other things. The Hollow Scream is underway out at Running Aces. That is going to wrap up this weekend.
Yeah.
But they've gone through several of the day ones. Kudos or congratulations to Everett Carlton for final tabling the main event of the Fall Poker Classic.
Nice job. Nice job.
That was a nice job there.
Love to talk to you about it, Everett.
Give us a call.
Give us a call, Everett.
Or send us an email.
Somebody go find Everett and go tell him that we need to talk to him. Give him our number or something.
Everett finished 6th, I believe, at the final table there. Might have been 5th. I don't have the stats right in front of me. But kudos, congrats to Adam Dolan, who took down the tournament.
There we go, Adam. Nice job. Adam, give us a call. We'll be happy to have you on the show, too.
395 players. Adam takes it down for a nice little payday on that. But the main reason...
Yeah, what was the payout?
The payout on the main event. Now, they did some chopping, so the stated payout for the main event is different than what they actually ended up with.
Right.
Because the final, I think the final three players made a deal, and then the heads up, they made yet another deal.
Your kind of tournament.
It was a little bit like that.
You know, it's going to get to the point, Phil, where you just go into like a nine-table max tournament, and you just sit down and start negotiating and try to get away without even having to play one hand. I've chopped it all up, and I've made 50 cents. On to the next one.
No, we just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Just over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. The payout was supposed to be $90,000, as I recall here.
Okay.
The final chop ended up being Adam getting $62,000, second place getting $53,000 instead of $49,000, third place getting $47,000 instead
of... All right. Well, that's a pretty good drop.
$37,000.
90 down to 62?
Yes. But that was part of the chop. You third place otherwise would have been $37,000. So they made a $52,000 guarantee with each other. So everybody basically got second place money. Then they played for a little bit. Third place got knocked out. The two heads up guys further chopped down the money that they had set aside, and then played for the trophy. And
nice.
Yeah. So that was Adam Dolan.
Good stuff.
But the main purpose of this segment is to have a nice little discussion as to the November 9, the final table, the final 9 from the WSOP main event.
Dun, 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 dun. WSOP 2013.
6,352 players began the main event in July of this year. They played it down to the final 9. They took a break over the summer. They're coming back on November 4th to play it down to 3. To come back on November 5th to crown a champion.
Why do you think they play it down to 3?
So they can have more TV time.
But why 3? Why not 4? Why 3?
You know, I'm guessing it's this. cards are scheduled to be dealt. The first hand is scheduled to be dealt at 5:47 on the nose.
Okay.
That's the plan. 5:47 on the dot.
Yeah.
With a 15-minute delay.
Yeah.
13 minutes later, the ESPN coverage starts at 6 p.m.
Yes.
So that they can do the intro. And then 2 minutes into that, they've got the ability to start showing the hand, the first
hand. Right.
So every 45 minutes, they're going to take a 15-minute break. So this could take a long time. Could take a long time to play down from nine down to could take a long time to play from nine down to eight, you know, or six or five. So yeah. My guess is you know play down to three because that's going to take a long time. That's going to take them to you know 2 a.m. Give people a chance to sleep, get a little bit of sleep, come on back, and then we've got three players, and that's still going to take a while to happen.
Okay. You know,
even the heads up play can take hours.
Well, sure, yeah, so absolutely.
More people you got, the longer it's going to take. Let's do a quick rundown though.
Wow, that was deep.
God. I am nothing if not deep.
Could you please, you know, grace us with more deep thoughts? I feel fear. You know what? The more people in the tournament, the longer it could take.
That may be a good deep stack poker thoughts with Jack Poker Handy.
But do you think, though, three is the right number? I mean, from an audience standpoint, just strictly from a marketing standpoint.
I think three works.
You like that?
I think three works. You could maybe do four.
I like four. For some reason, I like four better than three.
Okay. Well.
Get through half the table and then stop and then do the other half. Right?
That could work. It could.
Yeah. But.
I'm not going to complain about three, though.
Okay.
Should we go through the players from chip stack most to chip stack least?
Yes.
Flip-flop that?
Yeah.
Alphabetical order by first name? last name? country of origin? What do you think?
Let's go with top chip stack.
Top chip stack?
Right.
From top chip stack to least, we have JC Tran, who odds makers are making a 9-5 favorite to win this tournament.
Okay.
JC Tran, a well-known household name. And I'm just going to go through the names of the chip stacks, and then we'll talk about the players themselves.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because each of these, it's a stack table here. JC Tran, 9-5 odds maker favorite here, 38 million chips. In second chips is Amir Lehavot, a 9-2 odds maker to take this down, 29,700,000.
Okay.
Mark Etienne McLaughlin, a 5-1 favorite to win the tournament, is third in chip stack, 26.5 million chips. Jay Farber, 7-1 to win, 25.975 million chips. Ryan the Beast Reese,
the Beast Reese,
6-1 to win this, 25.8 million chips. Sylvan Loosely, 8-1 to win. He has 19.6 million, sixth most chip stack. In seventh is Michael Brumelhus, a 12-1 favorite to win this.
Say that three times fast.
With 11.275 million chips. Mark Newhouse, who with 10 players left was the short stack.
Right, I remember that.
Is actually now seventh in chips. He's 15-1 to win this. He has 7.35 million chips. And our short stack, 6.35 million chips. 15 big blinds, just over 15 big blinds. David Benefield, a 15-1 favorite to come back from the low chip stack to win this.
Okay.
But a stack table.
That is your November 9er.
Those are your November 9, and they're chip stacks. And, you know, JC Tran's in a great position. But one of the great stories of this main event may well be Carlos the Matador Mortensen.
He is the thing that we need to talk about because he's Bubble Boy.
2001 main event champ.
Yeah.
On the unofficial final table, bubbling in 10th or finishing in 10th for $537,000. He still can't be terribly disappointed about that.
We wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be.
No.
But he misses the final table, misses all that television coverage, misses the chance to be what most are saying is the only player or you know that first real shot at being the two-time main event champ winner in the modern era.
Right.
Although 2001, that was really, that's before the moneymaker effect, but
yes.
But the numbers had really started to climb up, so.
Right. In the modern
era. The modern era.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing, and, you know, even when they were down to 10, there was no way I thought Mortensen was going to go out.
No, some of the critics, I think, said, you know, he didn't blind himself out, but he wasn't terribly active. And while he wasn't terribly active, J.C. Tran, our chip leader at 38 million chips, was very aggressive.
Yeah, he was.
He took out the guy in 12th. He took out, or I think, or the guy in the 11th and Mortensen in 10th. Maybe he didn't take out the guy in 12th, but he definitely took out Mortensen and the guy in 11th.
Yes.
And chipped himself up. He was aggressive.
Yeah,
chipped
himself totally. Up. Totally did.
Mortensen, again, didn't totally lay back and get blinded out, but very far less active. And that may have cost him some chips, may have cost him the chance to make the final nine.
Right. Yeah, you know, but it's not, at least I don't think it's like Mortensen to be in that scenario where he put his tournament life on there in 10th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd have my money on Mortensen getting to that final table with those chip stacks at the time that there was 10.
Oh, I still definitely would have,
There was no way. I felt like, you stop the tournament right there and you go, okay, which one of these guys is going to be out in 10th? I'm not putting my money on Mortensen going out in 10th. There's no way. And so it was totally surprising, you know, that he ended up going out in 10th.
Yeah, it was interesting. Mortensen had the ace of clubs, nine of hearts. And the board, four cards had come out on the board. They'd done the turn, two clubs on the flop, a club on the turn, giving him a nut flush draw, and a pair of nines on a 10 high board. 10-6-3-9 was the board with three clubs, giving him a nut flush draw. But Mortensen called off his stack of J.C. Tran. J.C. Tran shoved all in.
Yes.
Or put him all in.
Right.
And he made the call with, you know, second pair and a nut flush draw.
Right.
Didn't, you know, he went for the draw. He went for it.
Right.
Did not come. A two of diamonds came on the river, and that eliminated Carlos.
Yep.
Sort of my ace-queen scenario, perhaps, or you know, in some ways similar. Maybe he should have folded that. Maybe I should have folded mine. Again, to a CPL Poker Podcast at gmail.com.
Or maybe he should have shoved
pre-flop,
and would have got JC off. What did JC? I can't remember.
JC Tran had the eight of clubs and seven of spades. So
You think his 8-7? He may have let that go.
I think he would have let that go. He actually hit his gut shot straight.
Yep. I don't know.
But an interesting final table. The short stack, maybe one of the least, professionals, least experienced players. But he's been playing for quite a bit. He's earned, he's got a 2006 WPT title, earned over $1.5 million in tournament play. Michael Bumelhuis is out of Amsterdam, a Dutch player, one of the more respected Dutch players on the circuit. Lots of caches. He's coming in with seventh in chips. The other European is Sylvain Lusli. I think he's from France. Let me take a quick look here. He's from France. He has finished deep in EPT events. He's a friend of Bertrand Elke Grossbühler.
Oh, Elke.
So he's got, I think he's got him on his coaching side. That very well could help him. Ryan the Beast Reese, who is only 23 years old. Could become the first main event winner born in the 90s.
That's a totally baseballish type stat, man.
And that could be him.
Okay.
Jay Farber. I'm going back through the players in reverse chip count. Jay Farber living out in Vegas there. Been playing cash games. He says his tournament was a blur up until day six when the reality of making the final table began to sink in, became more apparent.
Was a blur.
Yeah, he had a shot. He is probably the least experienced, only two small live caches to his name.
Wow.
So he's sort of the
just everyman. Running hot.
He's
running
the,
hot.
He's the everyman underdog, fourth in chips with $25.6 million. The only Canadian, Marc-Étienne McLaughlin. That's an interesting name, isn't it? So you got that French-Canadian aspect, the Étienne.
Yeah.
And then you got Étienne, like that
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin, you know, which is, you know, Scottish or, you know, ancestry, right, or something. He has no stranger to competition and stress. He's coming in third in chips. He has made, this is a great stat. He has made the final 100 of the main event each of the last, or I'm sorry, three of the past 5 years.
Wow.
He's made the top 100.
That's a stat.
Of the main event. So playing really well in the main event, down to the final nine this year. Amir Levahot is Israeli-born. Most of the field, I think five of the nine are American-born or U.S. Players. Amir Levahot is Israeli, coming in second in chips. He has two WSOP final tables to his name, has won over 800,000 in his career, and has a gold bracelet.
Look at that.
So no stranger.
Nope.
No stranger. And then you got the gorilla in the house, the elephant in the room, the whatever analogy I'm trying to come up with here.
Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller. Wait,
who is
you got J.C. Tran.
J.C. Tran, man.
J.C. Tran, eight WPT final tables, including a WPT title, a world championship of online poker main event champion through PokerStars, two-time WSOP bracelet winner, lives the high life out in California.
Right.
If you consider Sacramento the high life. Named
Sacramento's beautiful. What named are you talking
the WPT
about?
Player of the Year in 2007. More than $2 million in cashes in 2007 alone, and coming in with $38 million in chips.
Yeah, I don't know how you get JC off of those chips. I just don't know. I don't know how you do that. And you know, at least from my angle, JC, you know, ends up taking this down. You know, it's just a matter of time.
Just wind, you know, blind him down, probably continues aggression.
Yeah, if there's anybody that you don't want to have a massive stack, it's JC. You know, he's aggressive and has no problem throwing chips around.
Yeah.
None. And so, you know, the other eight are totally going to be in a position that, you know, sure, they could take some chips from JC, and they probably will, you know, but then there's going to be the time where JC takes their whole stack and they walk away.
Right.
You know, and I'm, you know, just like what happened to Mortensen, you know, he felt pretty good. And ended up walking away from the table, and so that's the risk that they're going to run into messing around with that big stack. I mean, what has he got? Like 24 million on everybody. Who's got what's the second stack?
He's got a little over 8 million on second
eight,
place.
Eight million.
About 8 million. Yeah.
Okay. You
Plenty.
Know,
that's nice difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, J.C. Tran's got karma going for him. His wife is due to give birth to their second child in November.
Oh, really?
So he's got that karma going for him, too. So yeah. Everything's going his way. Really seems like it's going to be J.C. Tran's main event.
I think it does.
However, he's coming in as the chip leader, and that's usually a bad indicator. Being chip leader coming into the final nine just doesn't hold.
Yeah.
You know, being ninth isn't good. Being first isn't good.
Okay. I thought ninth wasn't a bad place
well,
to be. I mean, wasn't that?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you're right. Somebody ran that.
Can't remember. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
That's all right.
Oh my gosh. Anyway,
but an interesting thing, we talked about Elke Grosspieler. Jay Farber is great friends. Has been roommates, I believe, and knows very well. Knows Ben Lamb. And Michael Mizrachi. So if he's getting coaching.
Oh, from Mizrachi.
From Mizrachi and Ben Lamb. Well, Ben Lamb was a final niner last year.
Right.
And, you know, if he's getting that coaching going on. I think Ben finished third last year, was it?
I don't remember.
You know, so he's got, you know, he's not a slouch on his own. He's got some people that are going to coach him and help him out. So, and he's got 25.9 million chips. That could well, you know, bode well for him as he tries to take down JC Tran.
Yes, yes. It definitely could. And, you know, I just think that it's going to be very, 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 very tough for the field. Now, the question I have is who's going to end up in second. I think that's really the big question.
Well, maybe that is somebody like a Jay Farber who's got the people behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think
I'll put my money on Farber.
You know, it doesn't seem like Newhouse is going to do it. You know, I don't think Newhouse. I don't think Benefeld. You know, maybe Brummelhuis. We can go foreign on this one. We can go Dutch. Those freaky deaky Dutch. I could maybe see Brummelhuis coming in from a fairly short stack, $11 million in seventh place, and maybe holding on and taking second.
Okay. All right, I'm going with Farber there.
Going with Farber. All right. Yep. Let's lay some predictions down here. So I'm thinking Tran's going to win it myself.
Yep. Tram.
Tran's Goalie, second. Goalie Tram. I'm thinking Amir's third.
Okay.
The Israeli player going to come in third, and I think we go Ryan the Beast Rees, just because he's got the nickname. So he's going to come in second.
Nice. Nice. There we go. Okay. Well, it's going to be exciting. November 4th. Are you going to watch the delay feed from ESPN there?
Yeah, I think I probably will. I haven't actually had much chance to watch very much of the WSOP this year.
Right.
I've seen very little of it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So
upside is when it comes in on reruns, it'll be new to me.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to watch the final table here.
On the 4th.
And the 5th.
There we go. Super. All right, let's go ahead and thanks for all that info, Phil.
You're welcome.
Excited to watch that on the 4th. All right, let's move right into the Minnesota Music segment. As always, we get our music from ReverbNation.com. If you haven't gone out there, great site to get all kinds of great local and music from all across the country. This week we have a group called Andy's Doomsday Device. And so we'll go ahead and give them a listen. The name of the tune is Black and Green. Again, this is Andy's Doomsday Device here on the CPL Poker Podcast Minnesota Music Segment for episode 155. Let's give them a listen.
right, and that was Andy's Doomsday Device, and that was the group, and the name of the tune, Black and Green, by Andy's Doomsday Device. What do you think there, Phil?
You know, let me say, I love the guitar work on this. I thought that was top-notch guitar work.
That's good stuff.
Not my favorite genre, I guess, this particular song.
Right.
It's a little harder, it's a little heavier.
Yeah, that's not your...
Not my wheelhouse. Cup of tea. Yeah, not my wheelhouse.
Not in your wheelhouse.
Andy's Doomsday Device, however, does something that is in my wheelhouse. They do a cover of Eleanor Rigby from the Beatles.
Yes.
What I think is a phenomenal cover. And they amp it up a little bit. It's a little heavier. It's a little harder driving.
Yeah.
It's not to this level of Black and Green.
No.
But somewhere in between. And I love the Eleanor Rigby song. It's not bad. It's just not my genre. Did really like the guitar work, though.
Yeah. No, I think this tune is hot, man. This group, it sort of reminds me of the lead singer's got sort of a Rush sort of sound quality. Similar to Rush, and so I really enjoy it. I agree with you. The guitar work I think is great, and the song overall is just this driving, moving forward. But at the same time, you know, they use a couple of different musical, you know, techniques, you know, with the different syncopation throughout the song, and then they, you know, you got the silence, which you like a lot, you know, when they drop out and come back in, you love that little move, and they got that on here, the stop and go
at the tables,
absolutely, and so they got that going for them, and but no, a great group. Andy's Doomsday Device. Now I know that they were gigging back in 2009, 2010, 2011. I don't see anything recent, but they are putting out new music. I saw it out on Facebook under Andy's Doomsday Device on Facebook. They don't have a website, but you can check them out on reverbnation.com/Andy's Doomsday Device.
You may get Andy Tackett fronts this band. That's the Andy and Andy's Doomsday Device.
Okay.
Is Andy Tackett. He's been doing some acoustic stuff. I did see that he was active down in the Mankato area in June of this summer.
Oh, okay.
Late spring, summer. So he's at least been doing some acoustic stuff down in the Mankato area. So if you're in Faribault, Mankato, Rochester area, you might have a shot at running across Andy Tackett doing something.
There we go. All right, well, maybe we'll hear this song again at the end of the year for the CPL Best of Music.
That's coming up.
That's coming up over, you know, near Christmas, like always.
That's one of my favorite
shows.
We are about 2 months away from putting that episode out.
Yeah, and we're right on schedule. It should be episode 159 if we, you know, have been running the nines every nine episode.
Oh, there you go.
109, 119, 139, something like that. And then 159 would fall right in there.
There you go.
Oh golly. All right, that was sweet. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here, and we'll come on back with the hand of the week on episode 155 of the CEO Poker. And that music in the background means it's time for the hand of the week here on CPL Poker Podcast episode 155. I will be reading off the hand of the week to Phil.
And I'll try not to contradict myself.
I don't hurt yourself, okay? It seems to come quite naturally.
to you today. All right, so we get all of our hands from pokerhands.org. This is hand number 6619393 for those of us following at home. All right, you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so we've got No Limit Hold'em Cash Game,
okay,
which you are starting to play a little more of. No Limit Hold'em Cash Game. You haven't done it for a while because you know you had a lot of tournaments coming up this summer and stuff like that. But before then, you were kind of
I was working on it because I think I'm weaker. I think I'm weaker at the cash games.
Yeah,
and I'm almost I'm almost leaning towards abandoning it.
You're about to toast it all together. Well, we'll see how this goes.
All right.
This could be, the deciding factor. You know, how you do it during this hand of the week, and you may just let the game go altogether.
Or, maybe not abandoning them, but not pursuing it with any great regularity. Really concentrating on tournaments instead of cash games. I'm just not as good a cash game player. I'm a better tournament player.
You said you weren't going to cash yourself. So it's been 38 seconds. All right. It's a nine-handed table.
Okay.
It is micro stakes. So the blinds are 5 cents, 10 cents. So this is totally in your budget.
Yes.
This sort of. No Limit Hold'em Cash Game.
I could lose $20 with the best of them.
Yes. And the hero has $11.11.
Or I could lose $11.11 with the best of them.
You could lose 11 bucks on this hand. All right, you ready?
We're ready.
And the hero, otherwise known as Rock Lobster, looks down at 7 of diamonds, 7 of hearts.
Hockey sticks.
You bet.
Middle pair, not one of my favorites.
You don't like middle pair at all. You don't.
I don't. I just don't.
You don't. Why? Why is that?
Just don't like them. Don't play them well.
Well, but do you think you don't play them well because you don't like them?
Well, that may be. There may be some.
Don't you like them more? Don't you like them more? Maybe you'll play them more then.
Well, I like them,
you know, and do better with them.
I like them if 2 sevens come on the flop.
Oh man, here we go. No, well, which they never do because you never hold on to them.
Well,
you're already young.
Let's take a look at the situation.
Is it checks all around? Okay, I guess I'll look for my, my quads on the flop. Otherwise, I'm getting rid of this shit.
Let's hear what the action is, though.
All right, so we are in the heroes in seat 7.
Okay.
In late position. With the dealer being on the dealer button on seat 9, small blind, and in seat 1. So starting with seat 3, they fold, and it folds all the way up to the hero in seat 7. So seats 3 through 6 all fold. It's now to the hero, to Rock Lobster. Pre-flop action.
Yeah, I'm first in on the hijack here, I think, position. I'm going to go with something that's probably close to a table standard raise. This is a hand in isolation, so we don't know what the standard table raise is.
Right. Right.
If it is something like 50 or 60 cents, I'm not going to go that high, I don't think. But my base inclination is...
That took like 3 whole minutes for you to explain once again that you don't know any of the players, you don't know their tendencies, you have to come in cold to this whole thing, so you're really not comfortable... All right, we're just going to start off each hand of the week with all of those disclaimers next time.
Okay.
All right, so that we don't have to run into them at some point. But okay. Yes, Phil, it is out of the box. You don't know who it is at the table.
I'm leaning towards a quarter, bumping it up to a quarter, maybe 30 cents, if,
okay.
Particularly 30 or 35 cents if the table standard is something higher, 50 cents, 55, 60 cents. I'll go to 35 or something like that.
Okay.
Quarter to 35 cents.
All right. Rock Lobster agrees with the raise methodology and goes to 40 cents.
And that may be an indication 4X. Of what the table standard has been.
4X is where he's going with
If
that.
It's been 40, I probably wouldn't go to 40 just because that's not... I tend to try to pull it back a little bit. And as we've discussed, you like the small ball. I like the small ball as well.
Yeah.
So 30, maybe 30, I would have gone with.
Sure. Okay, so we got a raise out of the gate to 40 by the hero. Seat 8 calls. Smooth calls to 40. The button folds. Good. And both of the blinds fold.
Oh,
and
right.
So we are heads up with seat 8. We are out of position.
Yep.
We're out of position. With our pocket 7s, the pot is at 95 cents.
Yep.
And we're going to go to the flop. Ready?
I'm ready. I'm feeling good about this one.
Now you feel good.
Well, you know, we're heads up. I'm
you like that?
Happier being heads up. Not as happy being out of position.
But. Okay, all right.
I'm going to lead out, though.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to, you want to do it like...
Yeah, before you, I'm going to, because
before
I got
before the flop comes,
I gotta
you're just going to go ahead and...
I got to lead out on this. It really
you're
doesn't matter.
Just going to straddle right now and just throw it out there?
No,
and...
It really doesn't matter what my opponent has on this. I'm going to have to lead out. I'm going to have to go with 50 to 60
so cents. So you're just going to do it in the dark then?
I'm going to see the flop, but I'm telling you that I've already thought ahead on this one.
Oh, wow.
I'm playing chess on this one.
Okay.
And I'm going 50 to 65 cents. Depending on the texture of the flop.
Okay.
If it's a horrible flop, if it's ace, king, queen, I'm going to drop down to 50-55. If it's a flop that's a little more favorable for me, I'm probably going to go up to 60-65.
All right. Okay. But you're not doing it in the dark.
No, I definitely would not do it in the dark. No, not...
would you
not
ever do that in the dark?
Have you
ever done that? Okay, let me ask that question. Have you
no,
ever done that?
Not bet. I've checked in the dark. No. Never bet. I don't think I've ever bet in the dark.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Flop. Ace of clubs. 6 of clubs. 9 of clubs. How's that for texture?
I'm
not... You got
not...
an ace and it's one suit.
Yeah, I'm not...
How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm going to go 60 or 65 on it.
So you like that texture?
I don't mind it
you're
as
okay
much.
You're okay with that one?
I don't mind
with
it as
the
much.
With the 3 clubs, you're cool with that?
It's fairly rare to flop a flush. I'm currently not worried about the flush.
Okay.
I am worried about a 4 flush and he's on a draw.
Okay.
That's going to be in the back of my head here.
Right.
And the ace is a scare card, but again, I'm not going to be entirely afraid of it. I think if he had a monster hand, he would have three bet me pre-flop.
Okay.
So I believe that I'm ahead here, so I'm going to go ahead and go 60-65 and see what happens.
Okay. Rock Lobster, again, agrees with your lead out continuation bet, and bets 50. 5-0.
Okay. You know, that was in my range of what I was looking at, so...
Didn't like the texture nearly
as
much as you did.
Not as much.
The seat 8 in the cutoff raises
okay.
to $1.20. Actions back on Rock Lobster.
See, this is where I start to fall apart, I think.
on your mid pair? Is this where you go running for the hills? Oh my God! I got pushback. I gotta go.
Yeah,
run.
Well, yeah, exactly,
run.
Exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly,
let it go.
Exactly. And it's a cash game, and it's real money, and I don't know. You know, it's not a tournament.
I like all that fake cash games you're playing. What?
Well, it's not like a tournament, and if it's, you know, I've got a real deep stack, and I could go ahead and lose more chips, and I'm still gonna have a deep stack, and something like that.
Okay.
I'll tell you the way I would play this. The way I would play it would be the smooth call. And this is exactly the way it's going to go down. Smooth call the 120, check the turn, he checks the turn, the river comes out, and then I got to see what the river is.
Right.
But I could maybe bet the river and he calls, or I could check the river and he bets.
That's excellent. That is, again, deep, deep, Phil. You know, in each street, you're saying that you could either check or bet. And your opponent could either check or bet also.
Yes.
That is just...
Or call. Calls
that
in
is
there too.
Just amazing.
Calls
that
in... Is, a call is
folks,
in there
that
too.
Is why you listen to this podcast, is because this is top-notch strategy. Right here. You can't just walk into any place and get this sort of analysis.
And it's free.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to call. I'm just gonna,
it's free.
I'm just going to call, but maybe a better play would be to 3-bet it, knock it up to, 220 or something like that, to see what he does. But it's just not what I would do. I would end up smooth calling.
Okay. Hero Rock Lobster agrees with you again, and Smooth Calls to 70 cents. We've now got $3.35 in the pot, and we go to the turn.
And most likely I'm check calling on the turn.
Okay.
But I think it's going to go check, check.
Okay. All right.
Really doesn't matter what the card is.
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter, because a seven of clubs is going to give me a set, but it's going to be that flush problem that might be out there.
Right.
So even then, I'm going to check and hope I pair the board and get a full house on the river.
Okay. All right. the turn is a seven of clubs.
Yeah.
Pretty much called. You, like, did a Negrano on that one. Just pretty much called it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna check call on this one, and here with all comfort I'm gonna check call.
So you got your three of a kind.
Yeah.
With a four flush on the board.
With a four flush, but if I'm playing live, I'm gonna take a little time to think about it.
Okay.
Probably I'm gonna probably Hollywood a little bit, not too long.
Right.
But enough to get my opponent to think that I was thinking about something. Even though I'm not, because I had already figured out what I was going to do.
You're definitely not thinking about anything.
So I'm going to check, though, assume that he's going to throw out about a $2 bet, and I'm going to call it.
Okay.
And if he checks, I'm way ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the hero checks.
Yep.
And so Rock Lobster checks like you did,
mm-hmm.
And seed eight checks.
All right, I
check check on the turn. Not only did you get the card that was, can you see through there? Okay, no, you can't see through that. All right, so you called the card and the action. That's pretty good. It's pretty good, Phil.
Well, I originally called the check check. I thought he might have bet here, but he didn't.
Okay.
You know, again, and you're going to laugh about this, it's either a monster.
Oh, man.
Or it's nothing.
Well, okay. All right. Yes.
Well, that's what he's got.
It's good stuff.
He either has a monster, he has, like, the king something of clubs, and he's got the nut flush.
Okay.
Or he has nothing.
All right. Monster or nothing. Here we go. It is Halloween time.
There we go.
No monsters under the bed. Here we go, 335 in the pot. We go to the river, and the river is...
ready.
An ace of diamonds. Fills you up.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what you were looking for? Weren't you looking for the fill up?
Well,
Didn't we just talk about...
We did, and when I said nothing...
I think you said, even if I get my trips...
Yes.
I am then going to check. I'm going to wait for the full house on the river.
Because I'm going to lead
you
out.
You now have the full house on the river.
I do. I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet into it and hope I just get the call.
Okay.
And that he doesn't have ace six.
Okay.
Or ace nine.
Sure, sure.
Or ace seven.
Here we go.
Okay. But it's ace six.
Are you really going to look under the bed for all the monsters?
Well, you're looking at ace six.
Are we going to see? We're going to name off all the monsters.
Looking at
here?
Ace six or ace nine.
Okay.
335 in the pot.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a 180 ish somewhere in there. 180 to 210, somewhere right in that $2 range.
Okay.
With the hope that it's ace 10, and he's just got three aces, but he'll be worried enough that he'll just call my bet.
Okay.
And I can take it down.
All right.
Versus I throw out a $2 bet, he raises to 9 or something like that.
Right.
So then I got to think about what to do.
Right.
So I'm going to throw out the 2. You could call it maybe a blocking bet, but I hope it's enough. It's enough to get some value out of the hand if I'm ahead. All in all, I think... gotta play it like I am. Could easily have a flush as well. So I gotta play it like I'm ahead. Throw the $2 out. Hope that's enough that I get the call.
Okay.
Versus a real tough re-raise situation.
Okay. Rock Lobster does lead out for $1.50.
That might be a little light, but it may accomplish the same thing.
Okay.
though this is the hand of the week, and that would end the hand, and so I'm guessing that's not the case.
So the... and seed 8, Mux. We have no idea what he's got. We win the hand. It's it. He's done. No, that's not what happened.
That's not it.
He raises to 350.
That's a small enough bet that I snap call.
Just boom.
It's $2 more. I snap call.
Done.
It's nothing to think about.
Okay.
It's nothing to think about. It's $2. He could have a flush. He could have the king and have the what he thinks is the nut flush and the nut hand. He could have the ace 10, shoot, even up to something like ace king, big slick, and he's got three aces and he thinks he's golden. Maybe he's got three ace king with the king of clubs. So he just, right. You know, he just thinks his hand is dynamite. And for another $2, let it go for it, yeah. There's okay. Only a few hands that beat us, and if we beat on this one, then we beat.
Okay.
I'm not going to re-raise it, though.
Okay.
But because there is plenty that does beat us.
All right. Rock Lobster strays from you at this point and re-raises to $7.
Yeah, I just don't see really only valuable, I think, if you've really got a great read on your opponent and you know maybe they just love flushes or you have this monster read on them. Because there is too much that beat you. Like I said, ace 6, ace 9, those are easily hands that he has. And you got beat on those. So there's 350 in the pot. I would just call.
Right. Okay. So Rock Lobster re-raises to 7. Which we get a call from seed 8. So we now have... What?
Well, if we got a call from seed 8.
We did. We got a call.
Then I'm guessing we're ahead because unless he's scared of ace 9 and he has ace 6.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think we're ahead. Otherwise, he would have re-raised us and gotten our last $2 out of the deal or whatever we had left.
Yeah, I'm sort of, I think we got like $3 or something
three
like that.
$3
yeah.
left, yeah.
Something like that.
I think we're good. So I think we're in good shape. I'm guessing it's like ace king with king of clubs.
All right. Super. $16.57 in the pot. Okay. And you flip over your pocket sevens, and seed 8 flips over pocket nines.
Well, one of the hands that beat us.
Coolered. Completely coolered the whole time.
Yeah.
By the way, red pocket nines.
Okay.
No, nine of spades, nine of diamonds. My bad.
But not the flush.
But not the nine of clubs. Well, right. No, the nine of clubs on,
right,
the board.
It's on the board.
Sorry.
No, but it's not.
Nine
but,
of spades, nine of diamonds. Yeah, no flush.
Not a flush there.
No flush.
Well, maybe he was afraid of an ace then. But that's the reason why I think there was too much that beat us out there to throw another $4 out there or $350.
Right.
On that re-raise.
Yep. Okay. That is the hand of the week. Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, thank you.
Oh, boy. You know, folks, you have basically two options. You can either raise or you can check, and so can your opponent. Just remember that next time you're at the table. All right, let's. That music in the background means it's time to wrap up episode 155 of the CPL. Poker Podcast. I want to thank all of our sponsors with Straight Flush Poker Tour, which, by the way, we didn't even talk about. We've got the regional coming up on, is it November 9th?
I believe it's November 9th.
November 2nd?
No, it's November 9th.
I thought it was November 2nd.
No, it's November
9th. It's November 9th?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so with Straight Flush Poker Tour, and so we're going to try and get out for that on the 9th.
It's
up,
Saturday.
Saturday up in at Running Aces. And then also want to thank Hold'em Radio for playing our show on Hold'em Radio.
On Fridays?
Yeah, absolutely. And then also with Card Player Lifestyle. Thank for your partnership with Card Player Lifestyle. Give them a shout and or a look up with our link on our blog. You can find them there. That should pretty much do it.
All right, let's put it in the can.
All right, until next time, I am your host, Mark Curtius.
I'm Phil Fuhrer.
And together we are
Stronger Square.